FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 12/27/18. Hey, just two more trading days left, and looks like Christmas has come late for those of us who believe in the sanctity of precious metals, but it has come nonetheless. And someone who's been assuring us all along, even in the face of weakness, even in the face of gold breaking 1200 to the downside, is Eric Haddock. You find him at insidetrack.com. That's inside with two I's, insidetrack.com. And hey, as always, be a part of the show and write us. The email address is kl@kerrylutz.com. So will the rally continue into the new year? What about the stock market? What about the dollar? Well, Eric, welcome back, and we're so anxious to get your view on things. Yet again, you've pulled another rabbit out of the hat.
Well, thanks for having me back, Kerry. I appreciate it.
So where are we now? Seasonally, this is always or 70%+ of the time, December, January, strong time for precious metals. But on top of that, we've got a weak stock market. We've got a dollar looks uncertain. We've got declining oil prices. We've just got a lot of things going on, don't we?
Yeah. And a lot of them, or some of them, fly in the face of normal bullish metals mindset, with something like crude crashing since early October. That would often be viewed deflationary and troublesome for metals. But I think they're far more comprehensive than any one correlation. And that's why I've really focused on the cycles and why I thought that August, September would be a major bottom in gold. Once we started to come up from that low, my work showed me that silver had one more retest of the lows to do in November. And right following that, in mid-November, both gold and silver triggered some pretty convincing buy signals, gold stocks as well, the XAU index. And the outlook was, and still is, for an overall rally from that mid-November low into late January, early February. Although in the midst of that, a lot of my work has been showing that we should see an initial top in gold could come as early as today or tomorrow, the 27th or the 28th. In silver, looks like it could stretch into the first couple days of January. But I have been saying, too, that I thought silver was building this base and was getting ready to break through that $15 level. And that once it did, it would probably accelerate up to $15.80 to $16 very quickly. So I could certainly see that within the next few trading days.
Wow. So silver is going to wake up from the morose, comatose state it's been in for the past 4 or 5 years, and it's going to start performing again? Is that what you're seeing?
I think it will, but I'm not conveying that that's on some massive pie in the sky bull market. I think it's going to be steadily gaining, and I think there's a number of factors that could play in its benefit over the next 3 to 6 months. You've got, you mentioned the dollar uncertainty. I'm pretty convinced that the dollar is putting in a 2 to 3 month top here, and it keeps showing signs of trying to break down. And I've got one key level now that if it can give a close below it, that would confirm to me that that a multi-month top is intact. That should help silver. I also think that the stock indexes are the Dow just hit a level that I've been discussing since July as my downside target for this year. And if the equity markets can kind of bottom out here, that should also be a positive for silver. Basically, it's been slowly bottoming and gaining some ground in the face of some of these negative factors. And even on a fundamental perspective, you've had some of the worst news where all the trade war is concerned. And, you know, if there is any real chance of some resolution there or at least some positive outlook, that too could really play in silver's favor.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like the U.S. economy has kind of peaked the stock market. Do you see a recession? Are you looking, you see anything like that on the horizon here? I mean, 10 years in a, well, maybe not a booming economy, but certainly the past couple of years, it's been pretty major. What is your outlook there?
Well, I don't consider myself an economist, and when you're getting into that broad of a economic outlook, it's all very general from my perspective. I think from what my work is showing in interest rates and in a couple of the other markets, that that if I kind of project that out, that I could see things turn a little more negative towards the end of next year. You know, right now, like I said, it's slowing. It's slowing the ascent, which is, you know, often you get that that big accelerated move. If you're an Elliott wave aficionado, that's kind of in the third wave or the middle surge. And then there's one more advance often to come. It's described in a lot of different ways and a lot of different market approaches. But just because it's slowing doesn't mean it's a downturn. And I think there still are some positive things that could come to light in the first half of next year. But as you look out to late 2019 and 2020, I think that then some of my indicators and some of my market analysis would certainly be a little bit more negative for the economy, and some headwinds could really be starting to develop at that time. And part of it could be a little bit of an inflationary surge in 2019 and 2020 as well that may hurt some aspects of the economy.
So you think inflation is not it's gone but not forgotten, huh?
Well, and I'm looking at more selective, more specific certain commodities when I am referring to inflation, not a broad economic inflation.
Consumer prices going up substantially. So, but in commodities, maybe the cycle is going to be shifting. Is that your thinking?
Yeah, and I think that even if we do see some weakness in the dollar, and a lot of times it doesn't take a full-blown sell-off. You know, if the dollar's been gaining since February and that's been kind of keeping a lid on a lot of commodity prices, that when you see that, when you see traders finally accept that, okay, the dollar has peaked, even if it doesn't collapse or anything, all it has to do is start to come off those highs, and it removes what was a big negative weight or burden on some of these other markets.
Right.
And so I think that's certainly going to help some key commodities in the next year or two. And also, when I look at longer term weather and crop challenging cycles, all along I've been focused on 2019-2020 as being a little bit more challenging time. So maybe we have something from a supply perspective that that really triggers some of that inflation in certain commodities.
Yeah, because one thing I always look at every year is the price of a Thanksgiving Day dinner. And basically, we've seen it, pretty much not do anything. It went down 45 cents, I believe, for the past year from 2017 to 2018. Got a little bit cheaper. That to me is the best measure, because I don't see the government manipulating the prices of Thanksgiving meals,
Right, turkey. Right. So, but that might be a little bit heavily weighted towards the turkey,
yeah.
Turkey cost.
The turkey indicator.
If you have a little bit of shortage of turkeys one year, it might overemphasize that swing in price.
Mm-hmm. So what about oil? It's really hit the skids. Last time I looked, it was trading around $46 for WTI, the barrel. And just to confirm, well, it's $44.81 WTI. And looks like it's not done going down yet, is it?
I think it has expended most of its downside price action. I had two primary downside targets. One was 1 to 2 year support, which came in around 47.48. And ultimately down to really critical 2 to 3 year support, which was right around the $42 level. And I'm looking at the crude futures, and they spiked down to the $42 range a day or two ago before having a good strong rebound yesterday. So I think, like I said, that from a price perspective, most of the downside has been expended. From a cyclic timing perspective, it could still wait until I've been talking about January, February as being a final bottom. So maybe we do a little bit of a bounce here and then retest the lows in the new year. And depending on the setup at that time, that could be an opportune situation for a 3 to 6 month bottom to take hold.
That's interesting. Interesting. So getting back to the stock market, what are you seeing here? Is this just a bounce, the 1,000-point bounce yesterday? Now it's down 400. I mean, it's kind of going like a ping pong ball here.
Well, and if you're going to set any sort of bottom, you often see that. You see the big up day, and maybe it stretches a second day, then all of a sudden you see half or more of that given back very quickly, and then maybe it'll stabilize for a couple days there, then start to turn back up. If it is a at least a multi-week bottom, I would expect to see some real kind of backing and filling or volatility at the bottom before it shoots up. It's more concerning when you get a big rally in a bear market or a big sell-off in a bull market that occurs over just a couple of days. Often that's it. That is the corrective move to whichever trend you're talking about. And the overall trend resumes after that, kind of like we saw leading into the early November high after the late October bounce. It was just a real quick, sharp few-day rally. And even into the early December secondary high, that's more indicative of a market that has just given a quick, sharp correction to, in that case, a downtrend, right, and is ready to resume that overall downtrend. So I do think that we're in a opportune time and price range for at least a 2 to 4 week bottom. There's a pretty consistent 7 and 14 week cycle in the S&P that I've described to my readers, and that was once that set a the secondary top in early November. The next phase was expected to be an important low coming in late December. It fits with some longer-term cycles that I've been describing since last year, and why they were pretending a sharp sell-off in the fourth quarter of this year. And it fits with the price targets. I mentioned that the one level that I've been publishing since July was for the Dow to get down to 22,100 before the end of 2018.
Yeah.
And that was in the context of seeing a topping phase in the third quarter and then things turning negative in the fourth quarter. And the Dow just spiked below that 22,100 yesterday. And so it has certainly fulfilled an important downside objective. Now I need to see if price action can show me signs of anything more than just a 3 to 5 day bottom, and see if it starts to build a little bit of a base and then lead into some upward momentum.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. So this might not be the end. Everybody's panicking, which, you know, the old saying, stocks. I was going to say stocks climb on a wall of worry. We certainly have a wall of worry now, don't we?
Yeah. And often markets, you know, will bottom on the worst news and top on the best news. And you do seem to have a convergence of all that bad news right now. You know, if we get a resolution to the shutdown and then you start to see things turn a little positive where the China trade war is concerned, and there's no guarantee of that happening, but when things have gotten as negative as they have, there's far more room for them to turn positive, even if that's just a partial right. positive. And the market always overreacts. The pendulum swings farther than it should. So even just a snap back to whatever that equilibrium point is could mean a pretty strong rally. But again, the bottom is not confirmed yet, so need to see that first.
Right. I gotcha. So interesting, though, that all hope is not lost. We could still see this bull market rally recover and go on to new highs, couldn't we?
Well, the new highs part, I'm not real convinced of. From a multi-year perspective, the thing that I kept discussing in the second quarter and third quarter was that one of my indicators, a weekly trend indicator, was telling me that each of the indexes needed to retest their January highs. But from a broader wave perspective, if they did set those new highs and spiked above the January highs, that would be fulfilling a fifth of a fifth wave advance from the 2009 low. And from there, we should see a sharp decline that could last into the third quarter of 2019. That's been my 1 to 2 year outlook. And so we saw those barely new highs in September and early October. They filled that fifth wave. And one of the things you look for to see how large of a degree or magnitude that top is whether or not the market breaks the previous lows. So in that case, the February through March lows.
Yeah.
That in Elliott wave terms is a fourth wave of lesser degree, and it's your initial target for a correction, but it's also your primary support for the overall wave structure.
Mm-hmm.
And all the indexes have broken below that. Which tells me it's a higher magnitude correction, which is what I expected from a fifth of fifth wave advance. You've got two different degrees or magnitudes of waves that need to be corrected. And so I lean more towards the idea that we've seen a 1 to 2 year top, and yes, in theory, it could be retested. But I think that the market probably will see some more downside in 2019. And there's some downside targets that are forming that I'm going to be elaborating on in my January inside track. Mm-hmm. But I do think that from a multi-year perspective, there's a better chance to see another leg down. And there are some other possible destabilizing factors that could hit the market at some point in 29. And of course, the most obvious is what the political situation looks like when the president's antagonists take control of the House in early January, and whatever Mueller report comes out, you could certainly see some things roiling the market a little bit farther into 2019.
Interesting. So last year, maybe it was the year before we talked, and you said there would be some event in Saudi Arabia that would kind of roil oil markets. Do you see any kind of event like that? Is that what the Mueller report's going to be, doing that for the stock market or what?
I don't know that. I think that there is a separate, rather comprehensive Middle East recurring cycle that I've been discussing, and yes, 2019 was the next phase of a recurring cycle that applied to Saudi Arabia, and independently one that deals with Turkey. And to me, each of the things we've seen over the last even 3 to 6 months certainly could be connecting a few of those dots. And, you know, the market had some struggles back in mid-year. It was in that June-July timeframe with some struggles where Turkey was concerned. And then the stocks topped almost on the exact day that the Khashoggi killing came to light. And, you know, that kind of pitted Saudi Arabia and Turkey. If you really look at the Middle East since the Arab Spring, they've been kind of the two primary antagonists that Turkey has been very favorable and encouraging to the movements of the Arab Spring, whereas Saudi Arabia was the biggest one threatened by upheaval. They quickly responded and pacified their population with money that was suddenly dispersed from the treasury and yeah, spread around, and other things they've done to try and pacify that. But you've had even something like that simmering under the surface. And then most recently, if the reports are accurate, you get our president getting on a phone call with Erdogan and gets off it and suddenly says, okay, we're pulling our troops out of Syria. Turkey assured me they'll take care of ISIS. They're going to take care of everything over there. We're out of there. And his Secretary of Defense resigning, and other envoys resigning, and it really, like I said, just when I'm already looking at the broader picture and saying, okay, I think that 2019 is when things are really going to start to intensify, where Turkey's concerned, where Saudi Arabia is concerned, and then you start seeing these events popping up every couple months. Instead of looking at them as isolated events, I look at them and say, okay, is there a thread here? Is there some momentum building towards in a certain direction? And so You know, some of these things are certainly laying the groundwork for what could fulfill those cycles beginning in 2019 and really leading into and through 2021. That 3-year time frame is when I think you'll see a big shift in the Middle East. And, you know, I know one of the real concerns of military advisors is that if we pull out of there, Turkey goes right after the Kurds, who they've always hated, but the Kurds have been allies in our fight against ISIS, and you're almost back to the early 90s when we disappeared from Iraq so quickly, put up a few no-fly zones, but then Hussein went after the Kurds, and you just have that that potential for a bit more of an incendiary situation in that part of the world in the coming years.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, on the other hand, we're still bombing over there. I just read today that we were basically bombing ISIS, I guess it was. So I don't know what to think here. I mean, what do you think?
Well, yeah, and I don't claim to know anything that that our president or our military advisors know. Sometimes it's just how things are conveyed or communicated that might be a little misleading. Maybe they are some thought out decisions, and it just took one final conversation and confirmation to come to those decisions. You know, you listen to some military advisors, and they do say that you know, at least in and around Syria, that that ISIS is 90%+ defeated, and the fear is certainly that you pull out too quickly and you telegraph it to them, lets them know, okay, we can kind of try and lay low until the withdrawal and then start to regroup. But I mean, there's certainly an argument too for the idea that America shouldn't be the world's policeman. You know, certainly when there's vital national interests at stake, and when there is ways that America can help and assist, that's one thing. But to be the world's policeman, that's a whole different thing. And so that's a whole political debate that I wouldn't even venture into, because I don't know what I don't know. So there's a lot there that none of us know. So leave that to those of a higher pay grade.
Yes. Agreed. So all in all, it's going to be an interesting year ahead of us. A lot of surprises, and the stock market rally might not be over, or it might be over, but it's not necessarily going to collapse. I mean, a lot of things can happen here during the year that we have no idea about, right?
Yeah, and I think what, more than anything, what it's really setting up is that 2019 could certainly be more of a trader's market, and I think there are going to be far more opportunities on both sides of gold and silver, on both sides of the stock market, both sides of crude and the dollar. Right. You know, most of 2017 and into 2018, the stock market was kind of in a steady advance. It had some few weak corrections, but it was just heading higher. And so from a trading perspective, there's not as much opportunity other than just buy and hold. And even with gold, since it's run up into late January of this year, ever since then, it's just been kind of topping and then this steady decline. Yes. I think we're going to see bigger moves in both directions, a bit more intermediate trends in both directions as opposed to just 2 to 4 week corrections to whatever the overriding trend is, and then you're back on to that trend. So I think that there's going to be some good opportunities. And I think there's some markets like grains and some others that could also come to life and provide some real good trading opportunities. So that's probably the takeaway for me looking out into 2019, that I think there is going to be a lot more opportunity from that perspective.
All right. Well, hey, you've been very enlightening as always, Eric. And we appreciate the insights into the various markets. We're going to be watching and we're going to be talking to you throughout the year. Obviously, we go to InsideTrack.com to find out more about you, InsideTrack.com. Other sites where you want to direct people to?
Well, 40-year cycle is the other one where we do have a lot of archived reports and analysis dealing with this much broader cycle that also should be coming to a head in the next 2 to 3 years. So the number 40 and then yearcycle.com.
All right. Excellent. Hey, well, we'll be watching out. Hey, any questions, comments, kl@carrielutz.com is the email address. The Twitter feed's @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Eric, it's always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again real soon. And to all of you out there, best wishes for the coming year. Have a happy new year. And don't get too celebratory about it. It's just a new year. Anyway, Eric, we'll talk to you real soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Curry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.